Today we're going to talk about fellowship and fellowship. I'm thanking God for Nehemiah, and I know the Lord can raise up some Nehemiahs. How many know the Lord can raise some Nehemiahs up in this house? We need leaders. But we also need workers. There's no leader without a follower. And God's people can come together in chapter 3. We're going to see God build these walls. Are you ready to look at it? Are you ready to look into the word of the Lord? Go ahead and give him praise then. Come on now. Let's check it out. Thank you, Miss Chrissy. Thank you for the presence of the Lord. I just wanted to wait there because I don't want to get ahead of God. I don't want to get behind God. I just want to stay right with him. I'll stay right with him. I believe God is speaking to us today. He already has, and I believe he's going to speak to you. How many came to get something from the Lord? A couple of you. Listen, if you mean it, you can get what you came to get. Nehemiah, we're repairing, we're rebuilding, we're reinforcing the walls of spiritual walls in our life. Nehemiah has been a slow go for us. We missed a couple of Sundays already this year, and it's only February 25th. But hey, soon we'll be able to have more church. It means more of the word, and I hope that you are gleaning and reading ahead. But I faced with a challenge this morning, Nehemiah chapter 3. Have you ever come to portions of the Bible where it's filled with names you cannot pronounce? Nehemiah chapter 3 is filled with some 38 names, 40-something groups of people. There's a whole lot of people. It takes a whole lot of people to build a wall. I said it takes a village. It takes a church. It takes a whole lot of people to take care of the task. We have a great task of rebuilding the walls in our own area, in our own lives. Last week we mentioned maybe, you know, letting the Holy Spirit probe in our own lives, check the wall and around your own home. This week we're going to check it out in chapter 3. Because we allowed the Holy Spirit to move, and that's okay by me, I'm going to let you read chapter 3 on your own and hit some hot spots. There was two dilemmas I had, Max, in trying to preach today. I had two sermons. One was on practical leaderships from chapter 3, principles that I can take away, that you could take away, we can go home and learn. The second one was we're going to take a trip around, counterclockwise, around the walls of Jerusalem, and let's look at the sheep gate, the fish gate, and all the other gates, 10 gates in all. And I thought, Lord, I don't have time to do 10 gates and leadership principles too. So if you don't mind, I might just stay in Nehemiah chapter 3 for 2 weeks. Give it one this week and one next week, and we'll just be here till Jesus comes preaching anyway. I said, we're going to be here preaching when Jesus comes. Amen. And what a great leader we lost this week, the great Billy Graham. What a man of God who preached the unadulterated word of truth, and what a great legacy he leaves behind. So, hello? Oh, I got into a dead spot there. Nehemiah faced some great challenges, we found out in chapter 1, and we know that he developed great faith through prayer and waiting on the Lord because he served a great God. Can you say amen to that? But in chapter 3, Nehemiah couldn't have done anything else without the great dedication of the people of God. It takes everybody to do the work of God. It takes everybody. It takes a leader, and it takes people who are willing to follow. So I love what chapter 4 and verse 6 says. So built we. Nehemiah said, so built we. Somebody say we. We are. It takes all of us, right? All of us together. So built we the wall. For the people had a mind to work. Now listen, this is the third church we pastor. The Lord has blessed us. Two other great churches. And the people had a mind to work in those churches as well. But Oak Grove is a specific church, a special church that has a mind to work. You'd think every church would have that, right? But it's not the case. You can cross the land over. Not every church has people who are filled with the mind, a soul, the purpose of who they are is to complete the unfinished task of reaching the world for Jesus. David and Mary just told me over $8 million for BGMC last year. Could somebody give the Lord praise for that? We're going to keep on. And Oak Grove was on the map. Over 10,000 in Oak Grove to do that. So it took a common vision to make this happen, a dedicated leader and followers who did their best. Amen? So remember, Nehemiah kept one thing as a priority, and that was the glory of the Lord. He said, the walls of the city are down, the gates are burned with fire, and it is a disgrace to our God. Jerusalem, especially, is the city of God. The Israelites were very proud. They're God's people, right? We read it to you this morning. We read to you the scriptures. You are my prized, chosen possession. And God loved his people, and he made a city to place his name in the temple of the Lord there in Jerusalem. So chapter 2, verse 17, we left off. Let us build so that we be no more a reproach to our God. Shows us the purpose of chapter 3 and rebuilding the wall. Took a lot of people, but they all had to get on page with one vision. Amen? Israel, especially Jerusalem, was the city of God. Psalm 48:2, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. The glory of God rests in that city. And I tell you what, God's hand is still upon Israel today. Keep your eyes on the Middle East. Pray for peace in Jerusalem. Stay on the side of God's people. If you know what's good for you, that's not a political statement. That is a biblical statement. And so Psalm 87:2 said, God loved the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. All of your houses put together. The Lord said, I love the gates of Jerusalem. And here they lie in ruin, burned. And he took a tour of the city, right, last week, and found out that it was just demolished. I don't know if you can get into the writer's mind. I try to get into the writer's mind. He's mounted. Everybody's walking with him. He's checking out this portion of the gate. He goes and takes the tour. And finds in some places is so messed up and dilapidated he couldn't even get through. And so I perceive that he's still burdened. And I did a couple of pictures. Maybe I'll just go through some slides. Chapter 1, Nehemiah's prayer and request from the Lord. First he went to the Lord and then he went to the king. How many know that's the proper way to go? First you go to the Lord and then you go to the king, right? Get the right king in the right place. King Jesus is first, and God allowed him to be appointed governor over Jerusalem and the area. Chapter 2, he traveled to Jerusalem and inspected the walls. Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem mocked Nehemiah, discouraged. How many know there's always a devil to tell you what God told you that wasn't true? He said that ain't true. They'll never rebuild these walls. And Tobiah said, oh, somebody can come kick over. These old Jews, they're going to rebuild this wall. There won't be much to it. I want you to understand, this wall was a mile and a half around the city and 8 feet thick. How many know the devil is a liar? God's people built a wall for God. They stood up, got together, and did it. But in chapter 3, the builders of the wall, the gates, he gives a detail of the constructions. He gives a detail of the people. But the purpose remains the same. I don't want you to miss it. How many know there's a purpose for the church? It's to bring glory to the Lord. They had become a laughingstock to the world. Gentiles were mocking the Jewish people. I thought your God was a city of the king. I thought Jerusalem was the place where God is. It looks like it's demolished to me. Your God is dead. How many know in America there are people saying our God is dead? But how many know he's very much alive? God's not dead. Amen? And so I've come to tell you, church, that the world is laughing at us today. And the glory of the Lord seemingly is gone. And the walls seem to be in disrepair. That's the way it looks. But does anybody here have enough faith and hope to believe in the church again? How many know God can touch his people one more time? I said the Holy Spirit can breathe on his people one more time. As Samson stood between the pillars of the temple and asked the Lord to touch him one more time. How many believe God can do it again? So Nehemiah reminds us of the purpose of ministry is to restore the glory of his name. In fact, in Jesus' high priestly prayer in John 17:4. Jesus said, I have glorified you on the earth. He came to glorify the Lord. You know why we took a little elongated time of worship? Because our goal for being here is to bring glory to the name. Could you just lift your hand and just give him glory? just give glory to his name. Hey, listen, if you get through the whole day and did not give God a chance to have praise in the house of the Lord with the people of the Lord, we missed it. So thank God we slowed down enough to do that. And if I don't get to finish preaching, at least you had a chance to glorify his name. What happened to the church? It happened the same way in Israel. Over the years, the people had become accustomed to living without the glory. That's what's happening in our culture today. They had seen the walls down 140 years, over 140 years. And they got accustomed to living with the walls down without any glory. And the Lord's name was just disgraced, and Nehemiah's heart was broken. But thank God for leaders. Can you say amen to that? We lost a great general this week in Billy Graham. I thought, wow, what a man of God. What a work for God. But if you were talking to Billy Graham today, he would say, wow, what a savior. He always gave glory to God. Amen? And so the body of God is here in session. And I tell you, the body works together. And look at chapter 3. We find 38 people named. I think it's a pretty significant thing that all of them are named. Remember, Nehemiah is writing his journal, his memoirs. And he's going to do this. He's giving documentation of what's going on so he can bring it to the king. He don't know he's going to be there 12 years. He certainly didn't think it would happen in 52 days. But how many know when you get a godly leader and godly people and a godly mission, how many know the Holy Ghost can make a miracle happen? And this is what happened. They got together. Looks like 42 different groups were identified. I'm sure there was some Nehemiah missed, left some names out and not mentioned, but their work was vital. Can I tell you, if you do anything at the house of the Lord here in Springfield, if you do anything at all, Oak Grove, I don't care if you lift a finger, if you greet, if you ush, if you hush, if you pray, if you give, if you love, if you serve, if you teach, if you do anything, how many know everything is vital to the kingdom of God? And every person is vital in this house. We need everybody. Amen? It takes all of us to move together in the vision of God. It takes all of us. How can two walk together, Amos said, unless they agree? So there has to be a leader and then it has to be a follower. I mean, it gets a little clunky when you get too many leaders and not enough followers. Too many chefs and nobody in the kitchen. It's really a day where people want to be celebrities thrown up on the platform. Can I tell you, it's not as glamorous as some people make it look. And so leadership is quite a task. And I can tell you, some folks have the wrong idea about church. The church is not a place to come and get some rest, sit in nice pews, suck up the air conditioner. Come on now. Or the heater, whatever you need. Listen to the preacher. It's a place to find Jesus and find hope and restoration and mercy. How many glad the church is a hospital for the hurting? But even though there's worship here, there's also work here. You cannot just say all we do is worship and no work. And you cannot say all we do is work and no worship. Somebody asked me the other day, Pastor, it must be hard to go to church on Sunday. It's work day for you. I said, oh, no. One thing I've determined was I was never going to let my worship day become my work day. How many know my worship is my work? And that's the priests of the Lord started right there. Nehemiah put the priest to work at the sheep gate, the very first gate. I think it's rightly so. Amen. If the priests don't get involved, how many know we already are in trouble? And I feel like in our culture today, some of the shepherds have given up and have become accustomed to the walls being down. Listen, it takes a lot of work to build walls. And listen, if you're going to build walls, you can't be worried about your position. It gets really personal. There's walls that are destroyed all around the city. The wall in front of your house is destroyed. The wall in my neighborhood is destroyed. The wall in front of the sheep gate is destroyed. The fish gate is destroyed. All the gates are destroyed. And so things can't function the way God ordained them to function in the temple because it's messed up. So the wall was rebuilt because, number one, people obeyed the same leader. You know, Melissa has this illustration she gives to our staff. She said, hey, you know, we're glad God called you on our team, but there's only one leader here. We're not on a trip. We don't have to tell you we're the boss. If we have to tell you we're the boss, we're not the boss. I mean, no, that's the truth. The man who goes around saying, I'm the man, I'm the man. I mean, no, he's probably not the man. But we do know this. If we're going to get a vision, the vision has to come from a leader. So if Pastor Ron wants to paint that white, then it needs to be, if you want to paint it purple, and the other one wants to paint it yellow or polka dotted with stripes, I mean, no, somebody's got to make a final decision around here. You got to have a leader. And you got to have a follower. There's no way. Amos is talking about how can two walk together unless they agree. If I grab one side of the log and Ryan grabs the other side of the log, he takes off that way and I take off this way, how much are we going to get done? Nothing. Because a vision is what harnesses people in one direction. And Nehemiah got a vision and he got there and he motivated the people of God. Man, when he was finished, they said, let us go, rise up and build the wall. Man, I'd love to be in that bunch. Some of you are like, I don't want to build nothing today. How many is ready to build something for God? There you are. You scared me for a minute there. So they had the same leader. The second thing they had, they kept their eyes on the same goal. To bring back the glory of God. Listen, the walls of our culture are down. Oak Grove, the walls of our culture are down. We have to resurface and rebuild and bring the flag, the cross of Jesus Christ. How many know we must fly that flag again in the house of the Lord? We have to resurface and find the word of God. Remember Shaphan the high priest found the word of God in the house of God? I mean, how can you lose the Bible in the temple? But they did. But somehow they read it to the king and God started a revival. So they had the same goal. Then they worked to restore the same glory. You can't worry about who gets the credit all the time. You know, there's a lot of people that want to know who's going to get the credit. But how many know the glory goes to God? The glory goes to God. That's why everybody works together doing their part. We can accomplish a great thing for the Lord. There was enemies inside. There was enemies outside. There was difficulty everywhere. But no enemy, no difficulty, inside or out, was able to distract them from the God-given goal to restore the glory again to the house of the Lord. We had Sanballat. We had Tobiah. Geshem. Okay, Sanballat, the governor of Syria. Tobiah, he's a Jew, but he's like, and he's actually mocking the people of God. Sanballat and Tobiah were not pleased to raise up the wall. Do you know there are supposedly Christian, God-fearing leaders who are actually helping to tear down the wall, not raise up the wall? And if you stand up for conviction and holiness and raise up the flag of the cross, of the bloodstained banner, and bring back the word of God and reinstitute the Holy Spirit in the house, some people are going to get upset with you. But you know what? Those are the things that got us where we are. And those are the things that are going to get us where we need to go. Amen? And so here's the deal. The word built, they were determined. Paul said this way, this one thing I do. Before I die, I'm going to restore the house of the Lord. And Nehemiah had that passion, and he's passing it on to the people of God. He's a great motivational leader, not motivational speaker. Are you with me? There's a lot of speakers today that'll give you a little speech, and you'll leave little goose pimples. How many know going to work on the wall doesn't bring goose pimples? But restoring the glory of God, how many know that brings goose pimples? That's purpose right there. So the word built is used 6 times in chapter 3. It literally means rebuilt. In other words, no need for any new materials. The debris of the ruin laying before them was all they needed. He did get lumber from the forest, permission from the king. Come on, somebody ought to say amen. He gave us beauty for ashes. Sometimes right in the middle of your mess is what God will use to help you rebuild your life. That very testimony of what you went through could be the very things God uses to take you where you need to go. It's valley moments, seasons of heartache and pain and brokenness that can build us back up. We don't need to invent new things. You know, there's a lot of folks out there trying to invent new ways to have church. But you know what? I come to the house today to worship the Lord. How about you? I came to hear the word of the Lord. How about you? I came to go to an altar and make my life right with the Lord. And when I walk out, I want to be different than when I came. So that's old. That's old, Pastor. You preaching on Jesus and the blood, that's old. How many know Jesus still saves? And the blood of Jesus still cleanses from all unrighteousness. And the word of God still convicts and converts. And the Holy Spirit still empowers people for the work of God. We need this. We need these things. And they're right before us. But the glory laid like stones in the dust, waiting on a godly leader and godly people to recover and use them for his glory. The word repair is used 35 times. It simply means to make strong and firm. This is not a quick fix. A lot of people want a quick fix. You know, let's grow. Let's get. I remember I was just got to Oak Grove and we had a man, bless his heart, sincere. Heart as big as Texas, brain as big as Rhode Island. He came in my office. I was unpacking my boxes, putting my books on the shelf. I was here 2 weeks, unpacking my box. Are y'all hearing me? Putting the books on the shelf. He sticks his head in the door. Hey, Pastor Ron, we're so glad you're here. You're our pastor. You're our leader, man. Hey, tell you, why aren't we growing? I looked at him. I said, what are you talking about? You got issues or something? What's your problem? I haven't even put my books on the shelf, and you want to know why aren't we growing? How many know there's no quick fix in the kingdom of the Lord? And there's no quick fix in your life. That guy's not here anymore. But he said, you know what we need? We need to be on TV like James River. I said, son, you don't have two nickels to rub together. Are you going to go on TV like James River? Can I tell you, we never tried to be James River. We're never going to try to be James River. We're going to try to be a New Testament church like Jesus's. And Oak Grove is Oak Grove. And Oak Grove's people are unique. Just turn to the neighbor to the right and left. Say, you're beautiful. Come on, tell him. Say, you're beautiful. My goodness, you're more prettier than I thought you were. Now listen to this. To repair means to make strong and firm. We can't afford to create some weak wall. They were already critiquing Nehemiah about how weak the wall was going to be. And I'm sure Nehemiah was on his knees saying, God, with all this rubble, and I don't know if we have the people. It's been like this 100 years. Will they get up and do it? Will they do it, God? Can these bones live? I believe they can. Amen? And so that's why Nehemiah needed the timber from the king to make the gates, because the gates were burned, so they needed to make new gates. That's the lumber, the timber. But they made the wall out of all the other rubble. Just stack those stones right back up. Put them back up. Whatever you lost. How many know if you're lost today, all you got to do is figure out the last place where you were and go back there. How many ever lose something? How many ever lose your keys? Your purse? Your Bible? Half of your Bibles are over there in the information center. Tell me. I know where they are. Johnny knows where they are. When I lose my keys or something, I have to say, Where? Max, where did I leave them? Because it's a good chance. Everything's between my seats. That's where we find it all. In my car. One time I lost my credit card and it fell out of my wallet and slipped into the cuffs of my pants. I didn't lose nothing. It went everywhere I went. My car wasn't lost. I was lost. And that's how it is sometimes, folks. We don't need new walls. We need new gates. Gates were vital. That's how they controlled who came in and who went out. How many know it's important who you let in your life and who you let out your life? It's important, the covenants that you keep. And then they had the sockets, the locks and sockets. You mentioned that. They were mentioned 5 times. Locks and bars, that's really locks and sockets. That's the bars that fit where on the inside so that those on the outside can't just come in. It's a fortress. They had no defense from the enemies. And the place was in disgrace. And they felt like, maybe, in defense of the Israelites, they might have felt like, we don't have enough fortitude or help. We don't have a leader to help us organize. This is massive. How many ever look at the Great Commission and think, we'll never reach the whole world for God? It seems impossible. But what's impossible for man, how many would shout it with me? How many know it's still possible for our God?
And Nehemiah motivated them, said, we can do this. And they got together and they got the wood and they got the mortar and the brick and they got all the stuff. And they got together and said, you go over here and you go over there. What a leader. What a leader. Man, what a great administrator and leader. God gifted him over there in the palace with King Artaxerxes, getting him ready for years because he was going to use him over here to build the wall. How many know what you're doing right now matters to God? God can use you right where you are, preparing you for where you're going to be. I believe that with all of my heart. Everything we've ever did, God has used in the ministry. So the gates were vital and bars were and it kept people in, kept people out. And every great work, there are leaders and followers. So I want us to look at the people. Next week, we'll take a trip, maybe go around the walls. Let's see. Well, this is what maybe Nehemiah saw. Okay, he's mounted up on the donkey there. Everybody else is checking it out. Chapter 2. They look like they're discouraged. It doesn't look like they're having a party there, does it? And then that maybe just some pictures to give you an idea. Nehemiah standing before the people. Wow, what a great task. This is impossible. That's maybe a more up-to-date. This is Jerusalem in Nehemiah's day. Small is way bigger than that today. All right, I'm not rolling. I'm stuck for some reason. I've got more than that, I know. There we go. Never mind, it's just slow going. So those are the gates. I'm going to do that next week. We'll start there with the valley gate, with the sheep gate. See on the top there? Can you see that? And then we'll go counterclockwise. So we'll go to the fish gate, the old gate, the valley gate. I want you to know the differences. Next week we'll talk about it. The distance between the old gate and the valley gate and the dung gate. A lot of distance between getting in the valley. How many know when you get in the valley, you can stay there a long time? Anybody ever been in the valley? We'll talk about it. The fountain gate, the water gate, the horse gate, the inspection gate. He ends up back at the sheep gate. Next week, we'll look at that in a little bit more detail. But I can see him as the leader. He's checking it out. He's checking it out. And look at that. Maybe the old time way. Maybe they rolled that on a stone, a rolling stone, and maybe get these pilings back up. And the work is starting up. I don't know. Their tripods and their techniques that they did it. Somehow they built those walls, folks. Somehow they built those walls, 8 feet thick, a mile and a half around the city. Somehow the people of God got it done, and they did it in 52 days. They did it with the word of God in one hand and the sword in the other. I said they worshiped and they worked. Sometimes it takes warfare. They had the enemy outside, the enemy inside, distractions all around, but they had a mind to work. They got it done. There it is. There it is, 12 gates. There they are wondering, what do we do? That Nehemiah's got us going 24 hours a day. Pastor Ron is killing us on this wall here. That's the eastern gate right there, if you're wondering. Closed up with the graveyard in front of it. Just some old pictures. You look that online, you can check it out yourself. What gate do you think that is? Oh, what gave it away? And that one? Fish gate. All right. So that the eastern gate right there, that's an old, old picture of Jerusalem. I was just fascinated. I was just fascinated as I took, you can Google it. Google the walls of the city of Jerusalem in Nehemiah's time. All of those photos will come up. Put up images. You could just see photo after photo. I spent at least 2 hours yesterday just glazing through, looking at it, and I thought, man, God, I don't have time to go through 10 gates, but I do want to leave some principles of how people can get together with a leader and make something good happen. Amen. Amen. So I tell you, I saw that God used all kind of people. Chapter 3 mentions rulers and priests and men and women. One man didn't have any sons, so he got his daughters involved. How many know, ladies, you missed a good time to shout? Can God use women to help build the wall? Okay, y'all missed it for a minute, but I got you back. I'm glad you woke your sister up. Men, women, professional craftsmen, people from outside the city. We'll talk about them in a minute. There's a place for everybody, though, and God never forgets that even though we're doing the work of God, we can never forget the God of the work. I know pastors who get so caught up in the work of God that they start missing out on the God of the work. And I'm guarantee you, Max, I don't want to work for Jesus. I want to work with Jesus. There's a big difference between working for Jesus and working with Jesus. And at the end of the day, your soul can be whole and the walls can be up in your life so you can build the wall around the church. So we'll look at this because everybody got involved. And the priests, they should have taken the lead, and they did. Nehemiah made them. But everybody should be involved, right? Because the glory of the Lord was involved. The priests were the first ones, and they needed to put their hands in the dirt and show that they are consecrated, but they're also part of the work on the wall. Listen, it's still ministry when you're mopping the floor. I said, if you're picking up paper out of the pews or picking up the communion cups out of the pew, how many know if you're doing the sound or the media or if you're playing an instrument, how many know it's all for the glory of the Lord? In fact, the scripture said, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your heart as unto the Lord and not unto men. Amen? So everybody's involved. All of them are doing something. And they do it to the glory of God. Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies and causes growth to the whole body as they come together in the love of God. So I thought this was pretty interesting. Eliashib, he was the priest. He enlisted the other priests to work at the sheep gate since that's where they brought the sacrifices. We'll talk about it next week. But they came in that gate. You saw the picture. And the temple was right there, so it makes sense. But sadly, listen to this, Eliashib did not remain true to his calling. And later, he allied with the enemy and created serious problems for leader Nehemiah. In chapter 13, we'll see that. And I'll tell you, not everybody who starts with excitement runs the race all the way to the finish. Some people start off pretty excited, and then they give up, give in to the enemy. Some people drop out. Some people turn away for one reason or another. But for this case, Eliashib's grandson married the daughter of Sanballat. How many know it matters who you marry? Oh, I wish y'all would help me out here. Back if you was a Jew, you'd be like, that man's preaching. Arrange marriages back then. It mattered. And God said, take no wife from outside. Oh, y'all don't care about that, but God did. Something else I see in verse 5, some people just refuse to work at all. There are people in the house of the Lord say, I'm not doing nothing. Can I just ask you, just straight up, who do you think you are? Tekoites is who you are. Tekoites. Tekoa was a town about 11 miles from Jerusalem. And the wealthy nobles of Tekoa and their people traveled to help on the wall. 11 miles there, 11 miles home every day to help on the walk. Look at the contrast, though, between the Tekoite people. They built on the wall in two places, the Bible says, verse 5 and verse 27, while the nobles refused to bend the neck and work in even one place on the wall. I wanted to bring that out to you because I think it's quite a contrast. The leader, the nobles, the wealthy, the aristocrats said, we're too good to put our hands on no dirty stone and put it. How many know the devil is a liar? I said, there's no way they're going to have 10 people carry 100% of the work here at Old Grove. We all get in the work, right? We're above average. I said, we're above average. We're not there. Somebody say, God's still working on Old Grove. But we're above average. Usually 20% of the people are doing 80% of the work, usually in church. But these nobles, they refuse to bend their neck. I wonder, were they leaders so mighty and too good to be doing manual labor? You'll see Pastor Ron break down tables, clean toilets. It's lonely in the house of God. I said it's lonely on the platform this morning. Just because you're the leader doesn't exempt you from getting involved. And just because you might have this gifting, I see them taking one assignment and saying, I'm done with this. Then they go and give me another assignment. How many know that's people with a mind to work? They wanted to get the job done. They were excited about being a part of the work. Paul was a tent maker. Jesus was a carpenter. And some think they're beyond picking up a brick. It blows my mind. I pray we have none of those nobles here at Oak Grove. Can you say amen to that? And then there were other people who were outside the city, men from Jericho, people from Gibeah and Mizpah. They were not local, but they were loyal. I mean, no, you don't have to be local to be loyal. We have a couple that don't even come to church here anymore. They've been paying their tithe. I try to say, where are you going to church at? I don't know if they're on the military in the desert. I don't know where they are, but they send their tithe every month to Oak Grove. And I have folks that are loyal, that are local, but not loyal. Then I have some that are not local, but that are. It blows my mind how somebody can come into the house of God, sit on the house of God, in the house of God with air conditioned heat and everything and all, and not give and contribute one iota to this house. Shame on you. You're a robber of God. And if you could steal from God, you could steal from anybody. I wouldn't trust you with a plug nickel. Somebody needs to help the pastor preach. My goodness, that's just good preaching. I'm about to get tarred and feathered and run out of this house. I'm just saying. So it's God's city. It's God's glory. And they risked their lives to come and work in the city. I also saw this. I saw that some did more work than other people. Boy, that's a big one in the kingdom. Well, Brother Ron, I do this and then they don't even do nothing. How many know God didn't call you to compare yourself with them? He called you to compare yourself with him. Amen? And it reminds me of the parable of the 11th hour. Remember those people were working in the field at the 11th hour, and the king and the owner and the master gave them the same pay as those that had been working all day, and they got upset. And the king said, that's my money. I give my money to whoever I want to give my money. How many know the Lord is God and that's all there is to it? And he'll have to deal with people and their work ethic. You just keep your eyes on the prize. Amen? And some people did it. Many of their portion of the wall was done. They asked for additional tasks. Quit comparing yourself and saying we've done as much or more than they did. Just do all that you can do as long as you can do it. Can somebody say amen to that? If we stop worrying about who gets the credit or who noticed you or who didn't notice you or is my name in the bulletin, I mean, no, you don't have to worry about it. He's keeping good records. This documentation of the memoirs of Nehemiah is telling me he's bringing it to the king. I mean, no, the king is keeping good record. Everybody's name is in the book. Everybody's name is in the book. And Nehemiah took good effort to make sure he didn't miss anybody. Anybody who did anything, he wrote it down. He was a great organizer. He allowed many people to work close to their home. I thought this was genius. Genius. He said, Max, I want you and Cheryl to take care of the wall in front of Nixa. And maybe the Kirbys can help you. And any other Nixieites. And then the McBains, I want you to take care of Ozark along with any other Ozarkites. Listen, that's brilliant to me. Because you know good and well, they got tired of seeing the rubble in front of their yard. He didn't ask them to clean up their yard. He just said, start to work at your house. How many know that spiritually speaking, we ought to start the work of God in our own home? Now, that's the spiritual principle. But I thought it was a genius construction-wise and as a leader to say, if you will do this, if the priest will work right here, the sheep gate, that's where you are. If you're a fisherman, why don't you guys get over here and work at the fish gate where the market is? You're there every day. You can't even bring your fish in and out. Why don't you pick up and do something good enough for yourself? That's what he said. And everybody said, oh, wow, I can do that. I can do that. Aha moments began to pop up all over the city. And so at least six different workers plus some priests repaired portions of the wall that were close to their homes. If each of us could work close to in reach what we can I tell you? You'll never reach people you can't, you'll never touch people you can't reach. Let me say it again. Let me say it to this side. You'll never be able to touch people who are out of your reach. And that's why people say, Pastor Ron, you want to plant a church? We planted churches in Honduras and Germany, and we built Bible schools all over. But listen, our goal is to try to reach the people right here. Right here, right? We don't want to go all around the world and forget our own home. How many know America needs God? And this church is in the middle of the Oak Grove neighborhood. How many think somebody needs to know we're here? So So we're building the wall right here in our own neighborhoods. And we believe that our home is the first place we should start to repair the wall. Verse 20, I thought was awesome. Baruch, he's the only person, the only worker that has said, this is what they said about him. His work was done earnestly. Earnestly. That's pretty incredible. Not only is he mentioned, Rick, he's got specific how he worked. He was the energizer bunny. To work, I looked at it, the Hebrew means he was burning and glowing. He was full of energy. That guy was working with it all of his heart. Let me tell you something about lazy workers. You don't have to hear it. Close your ears. Lazy workers don't just rob themselves. They don't just rob the Lord. But their fellow workers are the ones they're really robbing. Your slack on the job means somebody else got to do double. If you just take care of your responsibility, how many know everybody does what they do, it all seems to work out well. But when we got to do everything, and here's the myth in the church. Pastor, that's why we hired you and the staff. I mean, no, that's an old myth. That's a dead myth. Because the Bible says in Ephesians 4, God called pastors to equip who? The saints. For what? Work of the ministry. So that we all come together in the unity of the body of Christ. Built up together. Amen? So I'm not sure if we have time to go around the city. We don't. I'm stopping right now. But Nehemiah started at the sheep gate, and he moved counterclockwise, mentioning 10 gates, several towers and landmarks. And he starts with the north wall, then the western wall, then the southern point, and then the eastern wall. And his purpose is to journal down the names and the accomplishments of all the people for the king. So that's what I wanted to give you this morning, and that's all I'm going to give you this morning. But I think it's enough to know that all of us are a vital part of the kingdom. I want Chrissy to come back, and I want us to really think about this. Contemplate, am I pulling my load? Is it that I just attend Oak Grove? Or when we holler out, we are Oak Grove, am I really Oak Grove? Am I just sucking the life out of Oak Grove and give me, give me, give me, give me, give me? Or do I put back in something into this place that makes this place healthy and strong? Because someday, if you will put in when you need it, you can pull it out. But there's a whole lot of people that when they need it, I wish somebody would help me preach. This is real good preaching. I said, Pastor, I can't even tap my own back. I hurt my back. Some good preaching, Pastor. If you will put something in, you won't be feeling so bad when the body comes together to help you out. Has anybody ever needed to be helped out of something? For 140 years, the city laid in ruin. In 52 days, I wonder if there's any believers in the house. I said, are there any believers in the house? Does anybody here, if you believe it, I want you to stand to your feet and help me give God a shout of praise. If you believe God can send a revival and do something in 52 days, I want you to help me give God a praise. Come on, give him a praise today. God can do it. God can do it. God can do it. There's never been a doubt that God could do it. What God needs is a group of people who have a mind to work. So we're going to do two things today. We're going to worship with one arm, and we're going to work with the other. And warfare. Worship and warfare. Prayer and work. Pray and work. Jesus said it all the time. Watch and pray. Hey, watch and pray. Keep a defensive about your own home and your church and your community. How many know the church should have rose up a long time ago to stop some of the things that are happening today? Abortion should never have happened in America. I said we should never be where we are. But since we are, how many know it's time to rebuild the old paths and stop murder every single day? Stop it and reverse it. If Roe versus Wade could happen, how many know it can unhappen? If we pray and believe and go to work and stand up and thank God I know it's a bad day. It's a sad day in America. But I believe the wind of God, the Holy Spirit's blowing in this house. And I believe it'll blow in your house. And where the wind blows, something starts to happen. We're going to open the altar today. Maybe God's speaking to you. You say, Pastor, I don't know what I can do. I don't have any talent. I can't build no wall. I've never built a wall. Listen, just because some people on the wall didn't have the talent to build the wall, they weren't all masonry people. They were all crafty people. The priests were over there. One day he sliced the throat of the lamb and sacrificed. The next day he'd grab a rock and put it on the wall. There's something you can do. You say, Pastor, I want to be counted in the number. And I want my name written down in the chronicles of God's work. When I die, I can stand before the Lord and he can inspect me and say, he called my name and I was there on the wall. Could you help me pray this morning? I'll let you respond personally, but I want you to help me pray for Springfield and our nation. That God would give us watchmen on the wall, watch women on the wall, soldiers, preachers, like a Billy Graham, who will preach the unadulterated word of truth, uncompromising, who will live a life of holiness and obedience all the way to his death. What a great man. Would you lift your hand to the Lord? Come on, let's ask God today. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this message. I know that it's tough, Lord. It's tough, but we need to be told. We need to be told. All of us are vital. All of us play a significant role. Every person at Oak Grove is valuable to the kingdom, to the work of God. And Lord, I know that you're going to do this. We have a noble purpose. You've given us a clear plan. You got willing people with a burning passion, with persistence, Lord. And we need to be a people who will put their hands to this good work and see the King of Kings come back and find himself a church. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.